Fatto.
Sadasat vimuktam Yanamidesaya grahita deham Jnanopadeshaya grahita deham Namame. What word meaning? Prashanta, O completely peaceful one. Maya guna, the modes of material nature. Karmalingam, symptomized by fruitive activities. Anama rupam, one who has no material name or form. Sad asat vimuktam, transcendental to the manifested and non-manifested modes of material nature. Gyan ubdayashaya, for distributing transcendental knowledge, as in the Bhagavad Gita. Grahita deham, has assumed a form like a material body. Namamahe, I offer my respectful obeisances. Tvam, unto you. Purusham, the Supreme Person. Puranam original. The translation for Vaishnava Prabhupada. Prabhupada ki jai. O completely peaceful Lord, although material nature, fruitive activities and the consequent material names and forms are your creation, you are unaffected by them. Therefore your transcendental name is different from material names and a form is different from material forms. You assume a form resembling a material body just to give us instructions like those of Bhagavad Gita, but actually you are the supreme original person. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Forward. Sri Yamunacharya has recited this verse in his Stotra Ratna 43. Bhavantamevanucharan nirantarah prashantanhi shesha manorathantarah kada aham ekantika nityakim karah Prahrshyami Sanatha Jivitam. Meaning, by serving you constantly, one is free from all material desires and is completely pacified. When shall I engage in your permanent eternal service and always feel joyful to have such a fitting master? Manorathena sati davato bahi. One who acts on mental platform must descend to material activities. Material contamination, however, is absent, completely absent from the personality of Godhead and his pure devotees. Therefore, the Lord is addressed as Prashanta, completely peaceful, free from the disturbances of material existence. The Supreme Lord has no material name or form. Only the foolish think that Lord's name and form are material. Avajananti mamura manushim tanum ashritam. The entity of the Supreme Lord is that He is the original person. Nonetheless, those who have but poor fund of knowledge think that the Lord is formless. The Lord is formless in the material sense, but He has His transcendental form, Satchitanand Vigraha. It's a good purpose, yeah. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Parvaram Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gaurvani Pracharana Nirvishesha Navadi Parishyate Shtarvano. So, yeah, this verse is interesting because of one quality of Lord which we are forced to appreciate. There are many qualities many people have and we appreciate that, but this quality which Krishna has, no one can possess. It's impossible. And what's that quality? No. Now I'll show you here. Yeah, that's okay.
Nobody else can.
Yeah, nobody else can do. Yeah, right. But probably, Brahma can do to a certain extent by the mercy of Lord. He's given this in charge to control material energy to a certain extent. But there's one thing in this verse, that is why this verse is beginning with glorification of Lord. Namamahe means we offer respectful obeisances. We all of these sons of Sagar Maharaj. Now, we offer you respectful obeisances, Krishna. Now, Krishna might ask, okay, why do you want to offer me respectful obeisances? That's the idea, no? You come to me, why you have come to him? He can always ask you, no? He's free to ask. You can't say, don't ask me. He can ask you. So you should have some answer for that. Why we have come to you? And the answer, Prabhupada, the answer to this question, Prabhupada is providing in his purport. That is where Prabhupada starts his purport with a verse from Yamunacharya, from Sotratna. And this is the point. There is no other commentator or no other, and anybody has started the purport like by this verse, but Prabhupada translates, starts this verse with Yamunacharya's purport, and Prabhupada writes, quotes Yamunacharya, by serving you constantly, one is freed from all material desires and is completely satisfied. So, what's the answer? The answer, the secret in this verse is that Krishna, we are attracted to you. Why we have come to serve you? Because you are a fitting master. Yamunacharya says, Prabhupada says, we want to be eternal servant and always feel joyful to have such a fitting master. So Krishna might say, so what is so fitting master? Why do you think I am a fit master? What's so special in me? Krishna wants to know, is it? Krishna wants to know about himself, no? That's what Prabhupada writes in first canto, in one of his purport, that just as great people want to hear their glories, Krishna also want to hear his glories. Prabhupada says that it is natural psychology of anybody that when they hear their glories, they become happy. It's all with us, no? It's with us, all of us. If I glorify you, you'll become happy, is it? If I chant your names, okay, Prabhu, or whatever your name is, you become happy. So Prabhupada says this psychology is coming from Krishna. Krishna becomes happy when somebody talks about his qualities. We also like that. If somebody talks about us, we'll hear, you know, what he's talking about me. And if they're talking positive, okay, good, nice. It's like that. So Prabhupada says, it's just like boys and girls. It's a natural psychology in boys and girls. Girls want to hear something about her from her boyfriend. Okay. Can you tell me something about me? That must happen, no? So that boy will be telling, you're pretty, you're beautiful, you're so nice. And the girl might be thinking, yes, more. Speak more. I want to hear more. That's the same thing, Krishna. Same thing. And Prabhupada says in one of his lecture, that if you understand Krishna, you understand yourself. Just as if you understand sun, you understand what is light. And if you understand yourself, you understand Krishna. It goes both ways. So if you understand material world, you can understand spiritual world. It is simple. Because this material world is reflection of spiritual world. Whatever you understand in material world, just put it upside down, that's spiritual world. Simple. Not so complex. So Prabhupada says in that purport, in the material, in Bhagavad Gita, you know, Ashwatthamenam Suvirudamulam, 15th chapter, first verse. This material world is reflection of the spiritual world. Prabhupada says in the purport. So in material world, sex is considered abominable. But in spiritual world, that's the highest thing. Madhurya Bhava. So you see, whatever, you just have to flip it 180 degrees and it's there. You are in spiritual world, that's all. So we can have some understanding. So that is why we can have some understanding. Yes, why? Okay, Krishna wants to hear his glories. Krishna says, okay, speak about me. So what do you want to glorify, Krishna? Now the point of glorification is to give him happiness. That's the idea. And to make Krishna happy, you have to have a good glorification. No? You can't write a stupid poem. And he is the origin of all poets. Adi Kavi, no? Brahma says, Krishna's name is Adi Kavi. He's the original, that's what comes here. Purusham Puranam. He's the original person. That word Purusham Puranam, that's important. That's why he says, I offer my obeisances unto the original person. So, if you want to satisfy original person, if you want to satisfy Krishna, you should be good, you know. If you want to satisfy somebody, it is said in science, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidences. If you want to talk about something about a chaos theory, you need a good evidence, you know. It's a different kind of theory. So if you want to talk to Krishna, you have to have some extraordinary glorification. And that's what sons of Sagar Maharaj are offering, an extraordinary glorification, not simple thing. Krishna, you're beautiful, you're nice, okay, good, Krishna will accept it from devotees with love, that kind of offering. But the point of offering is to make Krishna extreme. Our whole endeavor is not to make Krishna happy. Our whole endeavor is to make Krishna happy from all respects. Prabhupada says in one of his statements, our goal of devotion is to make Krishna jump in happiness. That's what our goal is. Supremely happy. That's what Prabhupada says. That's why Krishna is dancing with gopis. He's dancing. Why is he dancing? He's dancing to show gopis. He's dancing in the courtyard of Yashodama and Nand Baba. He's dancing on the top of standing on Kaliya. And he's dancing. Why is he dancing? He's supposed to kill Kaliya, and why is he dancing? He's dancing to show that he's extremely happy by the love of Rajvasis. That's why he was dancing on Kaliya. That was one of the reasons. The Rajvasis, they came, they saw Krishna. They were weeping, they were dying, and Krishna was so happy by seeing their love. That for me, they can live their life. Yes, I'm very happy. And he came, Kaliya came up, Krishna came and he started dancing. So that's our aim. That should be our aim. What about now? We are not even trained how to glorify Him. We are not trained even how to pray to Him. We need training, no? Bhagavatam is giving us training how to glorify Him. That is Bhagavatam. In one word, you understand, that's Bhagavatam. Now, if you read many glorifications, there are so many people glorifying Krishna, is it? Bhishma, so many people, Kunti. All glorifications might seem same to you, but they're not same. Because that is Bhagavatam all about. It is Paramaham Shastras. It is training us how to pray and how to glorify Him. This is one of the glorifications. And what does Sons of Sagar says? Sons of Sagar says, Krishna, you are Prashanta. Okay, Krishna understands that. Nice. No problem. You are Prashanta. Prashanta means, Shant means peaceful. Prashanta means completely peaceful. When the completely peaceful, what does that mean? That means love. That means love. Because there's just one way you can be completely peaceful in love. Peace means no material desires. Peace is not defined as inertia. Peace is not defined as complacence. That is not peace. That's what Arjuna was saying to Krishna. Krishna, I don't want to fight. I want to be in peace. Go to forest and chant your names. Krishna told you, stupid. You have wrong definitions of peace. You're completely nonsense. Peace doesn't mean sitting in one place and doing nothing. Peace means doing everything without material desires. That is peace. That is a peaceful condition. That is why Prabhupada starts this purport with this line. One who acts on material platform must descend to material activities. Prabhupada says, when one is freed from all material desires and is completely satisfied. See? So freedom from material desires is peaceful condition. You should not confuse. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that my dear Lord, my aim is to become anxious to serve you. My aim is to serve you and plan for your service. Have anxiety for your services. And that anxiety for serving Krishna, that is peace. Prabhupada says in one of his lecture, spiritual anxiety. Yes, have spiritual anxiety. That is a peaceful condition. And sometimes it doesn't happen. Like when one boy was asking me in Cincinnati, if we preach and there are so many problems in preaching, no? It's not easy, you know. Preaching is not just giving lecture. There are problems. This material world is like that. If you want to help somebody, you are in trouble. Because people don't want to be helped. That's a problem here. That's what Ram said to Lakshman. Lakshman, this world is crazy. Nobody appreciates goodness. Nobody appreciates humbleness, no? Ram was sitting for 3 days on the bank of ocean. Is it? Waiting for the ocean to give way. And ocean did give way. And then Ram took his arrow and he told Lakshman, I'm going to finish this ocean. Because I was humble for 3 days. And this ocean, he doesn't have any kind of credit for humbleness. He doesn't appreciate for humbleness. So therefore Ram says to Lakshman, in Kali Yuga, nobody will appreciate good qualities. That's how Prabhupada was. That's why Prabhupada said, when you go outside to preach, don't be humble. Be like a lion. Prabhupada said, no. Be like a lamb in the temple and lion outside. And Prabhupada was like that. He was like a lion. In temple, he was like a simple person. Nobody could even recognize his Prabhupada. You know, Prabhupada was just like that. Many people used to ask Prabhupada, where is Prabhupada? Many people in Vrindavan and in Bombay, this happened. Prabhupada was outside. One person asked, I want to meet Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was always joking, you know. I said, yeah. Yes, he is busy. You talk to me. He will talk to you later. And I think, there was one also incident in Gorakhpur. Radha Govind Maharaj, he was telling, Radha Govind Maharaj, he was first attached to Gorakhpur Press, Gita Press. He was going there. So Prabhupada happened to come there. And Prabhupada was there. And Radha Govind Maharaj, he knew about Prabhupada. He has come. But he never saw him. So he was like strolling in the corridor. And Prabhupada was there. And he asked Prabhupada, "So I have heard Bhaktivedanta Swami is here. Can you tell me where he is?" He's asking Prabhupada. Because he couldn't imagine in his mind that he had a different kind of imagination. Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami, he should be tall and, you know, very impressive. And some people, you know, around him, and he had that impression. But Prabhupada was just sitting like, that's all. So then Prabhupada also joked with him. Prabhupada said, so he has come, he's like that. And then Prabhupada said to him, "Well, he is there, but you know, he believes Lord Chaitanya is supreme." And that's a deviation. I don't believe in that. So then Radha Govind Maharaj, he was saying, "You stupid." He was saying to Prabhupada, "You're stupid, no. Chaitanya is God. I've read in Chaitanya Charitamrita and it's truth and Prabhupada is correct. And you're crazy. You have to read books, you know, you have not read books." And Prabhupada might be laughing from him. Prabhupada was joking with him. Prabhupada said, "No, no, why should you believe in Lord Chaitanya? He's just 500 years back. There's not much evidence." Whatever, there was back and forth. Radha Govind Maharaj told, no, I don't want to talk to you, get lost. I'll meet Prabhupada, complain about you." Then then he goes, you know, after an hour, and Prabhupada is sitting inside. And he says, "The same person." And then Prabhupada starts laughing when he sees him. This is Prabhupada. Prabhupada was so humble, nobody could really, people couldn't really understand he is Prabhupada. By his actions and demeanor, at the same time he was like a lion outside. People who saw him outside, they couldn't resist saying that he is an acharya. They couldn't resist. People, same person who saw him inside, they couldn't resist saying, "He's not acharya, he's an ordinary man." So this is the, that's how Prabhupada wanted us, all of us, not to be humble outside. Prabhupada said, "Go, preach, show to them that we are devotees, are much, much intelligent than you guys. You're materialists, you're fools. You don't know anything. If you come to Krishna, then you become intelligent. If you go away from Krishna, you become stupid. We have to show to them, because these people don't, material world will not surrender to humble people. They'll exploit you. This is the word. This is reality. The more good you become, the more people are going to exploit you. So, we have to become smart. People appreciate smart people, no? Oh yeah, he's smart. He's intelligent. And that's what we have to become. So that is the meaning of Prashanta. Prashant doesn't mean you are peacefully sitting in temple, peacefully sitting outside. No. Prashant means you should be like a fighter. That's Prashant. No material desires. We have just one desire, to establish Krishna as supreme in the entire world. That's what our desire is. But for that you have to fight. Truth doesn't come easily. Satyameva jayate. To establish truth, you have to fight. That's the pastimes of Lord. What Krishna is doing. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam. He had to fight to establish religious principles. There has to be like this. So that's the word Prashanta. That's why Prabhupada starts like that. So okay, we had a question. Krishna says, "Why do you want to serve me?" That was a question, no? Why do you say I'm a fitting master? Okay, first thing is Prashanta. And Krishna says, okay, I understand what is Prashanta, peaceful. But then we say, Krishna, no, Krishna, actually by Prashanta I means not just sitting, actually doing everything, having spiritual anxieties for you. To fight, you need to prepare. You have to be anxious. In fight, there is a lot of anxiety, you know. You'll win, you'll lose, what's going to happen. So that is peaceful. So don't think, so that boy who was asking me in Cincinnati, "Prabhu, I preach. Preaching, you become anxious. There are so many problems, anxiety. I can't chant my rounds." Is it? It happens, no? You can't chant your rounds. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So many things going in your mind. So what to do? So better, you know, I don't involve so much in preaching and so much in temple, so much devotees. I sit in my home, chant peacefully. But that's a problem. His definition of peace is wrong. Because the more you have anxiety for God, the more you love Him. There's only one way to love anybody, and that is to be anxious for Him. There's no other way. You can't just peacefully sit with your girlfriend and start loving her. It's not possible. You can't just say, I love you. Will you do something for me? No, I love you. That's all. It's not possible. So, if you are... Love demands anxiety. That's what I was talking yesterday. It demands anxiety. Prabhupada always said, take risk for Krishna. Love demands risk. Prabhupada always said, do something for Krishna. Love demands action. That's what love is all about. That's what business people, they love money. Because they're anxious for money. People, patriots, they love their country because they're anxious for their country. So we love Krishna because we are anxious for. That's why Prabhupada brought this point of spiritual anxiety. And that is the word prashanta. Shanta means peace. Prashanta means extreme peace. Pra means extreme. Pralhad. Alhad means joy. Pralhad means extreme joy. So prashanta means love. That's why Prabhupada is beginning this purport with Yamunacharya's verse. Krishna, I want you as master. Okay, good. So this is one glorification of God. Now Krishna is happy. Krishna likes Parokshvad. And what's that? Bhagavatam Prabhupada says in 11th canto. Parokshvad means Krishna likes poetry. If you want to glorify Him, you have to give Him poetry. But poetry doesn't mean rhyme. In Sanskrit, poetry means any topic which is deep, that is poetry. Poetry is deep, no. Prose is not deep. Prose is just information. You have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. I love you. That is a prose. What is poetry? Poetry is, don't talk to me. What's that? That's love, though. If a girlfriend says to boyfriend, don't, never talk to me. Then that's a sign. He understands she loves me. I have to talk to him. That's a point he should talk to her. That's poetry. Poetry has many levels of meaning. That is, and Krishna likes that. So this word prashanta has this many levels of meaning. Prashanta means devotee is peaceful for this material world. But devotee has a lot of anxieties for Krishna. Devotee has no material desires. He loves Him. That is prashanta. Okay. So, okay, Krishna says, nice. This is good. I am happy with your glorification. So continue. Continue glorification. So, Jagar Maharaj says, Maya guna karma lingam. They say, Krishna, devotees love you. You love them. You love Him. Why? Because Maya guna karma lingam. Now this is another glorification of Lord, that why do devotees love Krishna? Why do Krishna loves devotees? Because they are free of material contamination. Maya guna karma lingam. Lingam Prabhupada translates as, what's here? Symptomized. Lingam means sign, symptom. You are free from fruitive activities. That means you are free from the tendency to get something. That is fruitive activities, no? To get something, you want something. You're free from that tendency. And that is why you are prashanta. That's what Prabhupada says here. One who acts on mental platform must descend on material activities. Material activities means wanting something. Krishna has just one desire. To give. He doesn't need anything. Prabhupada says he doesn't need anything, no? He's complete. He just wants to give. And he wants to give two things. Mercy to non-devotees and love to devotees. That's all. Simple. Just two things. Prem Leela, Kripa Leela. In material world, he distributes mercy. In spiritual world, he exchanges love. That's all he does. Simple. So that's what is glory. Krishna asked, why I am Prashanta? Why do you glorify me like that? So devotee says, because you are not on mental platform. Prabhupada says, on mental platform, one must descend on material activities. What do you mean by mental platform? Mental platform means freedom from fruitive activities. Freedom from fruitive activity means freedom from the desire to want, desire to take. Prabhupada says in Nectar of Devotion, devotee is free from taking. Devotee doesn't want. Devotee wants to give. That's devotion all about. Krishna is like that, devotee is like that. That's love, no? Is it? That is love. So material desire and spiritual desire. Material platform, spiritual platform. Mental platform, spiritual platform. Spiritual platform is not a platform where you are not doing anything. You are doing everything but to give and not to take. That's the difference. You can do the same thing to take, with the intention to take. That's intention is coming their role. A spiritual platform with the intention is to give. And that's what is spirituality all about. That is mental speculation. Prabhupada says, mental platform, mental speculation. That's the meaning of that, coming on mental platform. So, but what happens is, sometimes we are practicing spirituality, but we have that intention of taking. And then, in the name of spirituality, we are on mental platform. Prabhupada's statement is, here Prabhupada quotes, Manorathena sati dhavato vahi. Mental platform must descend on material activities. It's a beautiful statement. So we come to spirituality. What we want, is it? That's the same disease we have. We want Krishna. We want peace. We want satisfaction. We want happiness. We want your blessings. We want your mercy. Why? Krishna says, you will keep on wanting, you keep on taking from me, don't you want to give me anything? That's what Krishna's proposal is. We are not here to take something. Even if we want to take something for Krishna, it is to give him back. So Bhagavatam says, it is just like you take water from Ganges. And why do you take water from Ganges? People go and take water, what to do? Give it back, no? To worship Ganga, you worship Ganges with the Ganges water. So that's the idea of Prashanta. That's the idea. So Krishna wants to give devotees. Krishna wants to give himself. Devotees want to give to Krishna themselves. That's all. That's what it's all about. Prabhupada says in one of his purport, even if Krishna wants to give himself to you, devotees might not accept. Because devotees do not want Krishna. Devotee wants service of Krishna. Service means devotee wants to give him. That's a servant. So, maya guna karma lingam, Prabhupada explains. This is how we differentiate between spiritual things and material things. So, that is what is happening in Gita. Arjuna didn't want to fight. Duryodhana wants to fight. Krishna says, both of you are wrong. Both of you are wrong. You have to choose. You have to fight or not fight. Krishna says, you are both foolish. Because Duryodhana wants to fight, he wants kingdom. Arjuna doesn't want to fight, he wants peace. And Krishna diagnoses there. Both proposals are wrong. Both are material proposals. Both are material contaminations because both of you want something. Krishna says, no, you fight for me. You give me your service. And that's the perfection of life. So we have to actually, if you want to be Prashanta, you have to be careful on your intention. See, so when a devotee is glorifying Krishna, glorification also has to have some philosophy, some depth, no? There is a philosophy, no? It's such a deep glorification. And that is why there is poetry. Krishna likes that. Okay, good. So we have to track our intentions, not just our actions. We have to track your intentions. What do you want? Do you want something? Don't you want something? You want something to give back or you want something to want? Prabhupada says in one of his lectures, don't take. Give to Krishna. Give your life to Krishna. That's the best thing you can give. That's the best offering we can do for Krishna. Okay, so then the word comes anamarupam. Now what about this? Krishna says, I want to hear more. Speak. Don't stop. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says to Ramanand Rai, speak more about Krishna. He says, what's that? Eho hoy ar kaha ar. Chaitanya Charitamrita comes, speak. So we know, we are by glorification, we are giving pleasure to his transcendental ears. So devotee continues. If you have to speak, you should know something, no? You go to spiritual world, Krishna says, glorify me. And okay, fine. You just say one thing and finished. No, that's not a good idea. So he says, anamarupam. What's anamarupam? Devotee says, Krishna, you don't have material name, you don't have material form. Now there's a point here. Devotee says, Krishna, you want to give, you don't want to take. And your devotees are also like that. That is why you don't have a material name, you don't have a material form. Anam doesn't mean no name. Prabhupada explains, anam means no material name, no material form. In other words, Krishna's form, Krishna's name is to, Krishna makes it a point, my name must be given to my devotees. I told you material and spiritual, what's the difference? Material means taking, spiritual means giving. Krishna does pastimes and he takes many names according to pastimes just to give pleasure to his devotees. Prabhupada says in one of his lectures, Prabhupada says, philosophers speak of Krishna as having no name, anam. Why? Because no name can be fixed on Krishna. Prabhupada says, you can't fix a name of Krishna. Krishna has so many names. Krishna, Govinda, Madhav. Why so many names? You can ask, why Krishna you have so many names? Krishna says, because I have so many devotees. And some devotees like to chant Govinda. If you go to south, they'll chant Govinda, Govinda. If you come to ISKCON, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. If you go to Nimbark Sampradaya, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam. If you go to Vallabh Sampradaya, Shri Krishna. There's so many names. So you can't argue with them. You have to chant just Hare Krishna, no problem. Is it? Nam Namakari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti. So why Krishna you have taken so many names? Krishna says, because so many devotees, different devotees like different names. I have taken so many names. You cannot fix one name on me. That is the meaning of anam. I have so many devotees. I want to give pleasure to all my devotees. That's why I take to give. That is why Prabhupada says, Krishna doesn't have material name. He accepted a name to give pleasure to devotees. And you see Gita, Arjuna speaks so many names of Krishna, no? I think Gita, how many names of Krishna? There are 40 or something. Something like this. So many names. Madhusudan, Govinda, Achyuta. And every name, Arjuna has a specific purpose to speak that name. When you speak something, there is a specific purpose. So when Arjuna says, O Achyuta, keep my chariot in between two armies. There's a meaning to that word, Achyuta, no? It's like that, we read Bhagavatam. And devotees become so happy to address Krishna by so many names. So that is why no material name, no material form, anama arupam. Why Krishna has no material form? Because Krishna takes so many forms as incarnations, so that devotees can meditate on those forms and have pleasure. That's Krishna all about. So Krishna says, okay, anything else? Please glorify me more. I want to hear more. Eho hoy ar kaha ar. Speak more. And then Sons of Sagar says, Sad asad vimuktam. And Prabhupada translates Sad asad vimuktam interestingly, word to word. Prabhupada says, transcendental to manifested and non-manifested modes of material nature. Sat means manifest, asat means non-manifest. One meaning. There are many meanings to sat asat. You can have a full class on a sat asat. Sat also means cause, asat means effect. Sat means eternal, asat means temporary. You know, sat means pious, asat means impious. There are so many meanings. Krishna, Sagar Maharaj saying, son, Krishna, you are beyond all these things. Pious, sinful, temporary, eternal. You are not even eternal. You have to understand, Krishna is beyond eternity. Soul is eternal. Sat means eternal, soul. Asat means matter, temporary. You're beyond temporariness, you're beyond eternalness, you're beyond eternity. You can't even say exactly Krishna is eternal. Krishna makes people eternal. He has a capacity to make us eternal. Eternal life is beyond eternity. We can't imagine what's he about. That is why they say Sat Asat Nimuktam. So Sagar Maharaj is saying, Krishna, because you have no material forms, no material names, there are so many names, so many forms, we can't count on fingers. It's endless. Endless. You're beyond all this counting space and time. Satasat means space and time, no? Cause and effect. Pious, impious, it's all within time and space. You do something good, then you do something bad. Then good, then bad. It's within time. You understand? Krishna, you're beyond time. You take so many incarnations, so many names, nobody can count that, just to give pleasure to devotees. And that's about you. You're beyond space and time. Your desires, your names, your forms, your actions cannot be limited by space and time. Such a good glorification, no? It's nice, no? And when like suppose, you contrast with us. When we go to Krishna, what do we say to Krishna? What's our glorification? Krishna, you're beautiful. Maybe. Because we don't know how to glorify, Mahaprabhu said, okay, bhaiya, chant Hare Krishna. At least Hare Krishna is the best glorification, no? You don't know how to glorify, just chant, start chanting with that. Slowly you will learn. That's what we are, all of us. And this is so nice, sons of Sagar. Perhaps they are all trained to glorify Krishna, otherwise they can't glorify like that. They might be have got training, you know, in the Gurukul, all these sons, they might have learned, and this is very good glorification. That is why it's said in Bhagavatam. Sada sadve muktam. You are infinite, you are beyond space and time. Yes, Krishna says, yes, this is good. I like this. I like that. So, Krishna says, I want to hear more. If you are with Krishna, you have to know your stuff, you know. You can't stop. He'll keep on saying, I want to hear more. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to Ramanraya, I want to hear more, I want to hear more. Ramanraya finished everything. Still Mahaprabhu says, go on. Ramanraya said, I don't have anything else. Mahaprabhu said, no, you have to keep on going. That's your service. That is service, no? You have to keep on serving him. We can't stop. There is no Sunday in service. You can't stop. That is spiritual word. Keeps on going, keeps on going, keeps on going, keeps on going. So what else? But the point here is, if you are glorifying Krishna, you have to have some logic. You can't just say anything. You're beautiful, Krishna, you did Kali and Nag Leela, you went to Mathura, you went to Dwarka. No. Some kind of connection has to be there. Krishna likes logic. Krishna likes poetry. Everything is made for Krishna, no? The more you engage these things in service of Krishna, the more you develop love for him. So anything else? So yes, we have more. Gyan Updeshaya Grahita Deham. Krishna, you are beyond space and time. You are beyond material things, but yet you come here. For what? Gyan Updeshaya. Gyan Updeshaya means, Prabhupada is saying, for giving transcendental knowledge. Why do you come? Why they are bringing this point? Because just they said, you are beyond space and time. You are beyond pious and sinful activities. We are beyond cause and effect. You are beyond this material creation. Is it? Material creation is all about cause and effect, space and time. You are beyond everything, still you come here. That's the point. Why you come here? They are glorifying the mercy of Lord. His causeless mercy. You don't have to do anything with this creation, with this temporary creation, with this temporary, eternal, pious, impious. Yet you come here to give knowledge to all of us, to help us understand you, to help us understand your nature. That is why Krishna is interesting. Through Gita, Prabhupada says through Gita here in the purport. You come here to speak about Gita. What is Gita? Krishna is telling about himself. See, I am like this. Understand me. And Grahita Deham. Grahita Deham means, anyway, Prabhupada doesn't comment on this, but if he would have commented, he would have written pages for this. Probably Mayavadis will like this word very much. It might be very tasty for them. Grahitatyam, he takes a form, he takes a body. So see, there's a proof that he is formless, but he takes a material. Grahit means accept. Deham means form. He accepts a form. Actually he is formless, but he accepts a form. But there is not the meaning of this. If you know Sanskrit properly, this is not the meaning of this. It's wrong. Just Prabhupada quotes this, no? You know that Bhagavad verse? Abhachananti mam muda manushim tanum ashritam. Prabhupada quotes this. There's a trick there. Mayavadis like that verse. Manushim tanum ashritam. Krishna takes the form of human. That's the translation of Mayavadis. But if you note the words properly, it is not manushya, it is not manushya tanum. It is manushim tanum. Manushya means like manushya. You get the feeling? Manushya manushim, like human. So if you know proper Sanskrit, you can't twist the meanings. Krishna knows what he's speaking. Krishna is not fool. He knows Sanskrit better than any Sanskrit scholar. He knows what he's saying. But this Shankaracharya, he just fooled people. Because people didn't know properly, you know. I don't know what he did, but he is Shiva, you know, he could have done all this. So that is the point. Grahita Deham. Grahit Deham doesn't mean he takes a form. Grahit is, anyway, I don't want to go in Sanskrit, but it's a past tense. So it means he had a form. Grahit means past tense. He had a form. When he comes to material world, he takes a form which is conducive to give pleasure to his devotees. That's the meaning of Grahitayam. He takes a form of a baby. Is it? To give pleasure to Yashodama. Then he grows up, no? Then he grows up as a young boy to give pleasure to Radharani. Then he becomes adult to give pleasure to Rukmani. He's taking forms, you see? But that's the eternal form, changing forms to give pleasure to devotees. In that sense, this Grahitayam is there. So Krishna says, this is nice. So now the first question, I began lecture by saying one point. There's some special thing in this verse. And that's what Krishna likes. Krishna is understanding what they're praying, what they're glorifying. There's some special thing which only Krishna has, nobody has. And that's the point they have raised in this verse. What's that point? Can anybody tell me? Now I've explained the full verse. It's done. But there's a point there. If you can see, you can see. If you can't see, then you can't see. Prabhupada is mentioning in his purport. It's just one line, but Prabhupada mentions here. So the point is that Krishna has nothing to do with this material creation. I just told, they glorified. Yet he creates. Is it? Krishna is in spiritual world. He's disinterested into this material world. Yet he comes. Krishna doesn't want so many names, so many forms. He's happy as Krishna. But yet he takes so many forms and so many names. Now what's the point here? Devotees, Sagar Maharaj is glorifying the contradictory qualities of God. That is the point here. Virudh Dharmashray. Krishna has contradictory qualities. He is Prashanta. He is peaceful. Yet he does so many things for his devotees. He is always playing. He is always fighting. Yet he is Prashanta. So Krishna has contradictory nature, which no living entity can have. No one. Brahma can also create a secondary creation. But he can't have contradictory nature. It's impossible for him. Shiva can't have. No soul can have contradictory nature except God. God can create, do everything, yet be aloof from that. That is Bhagavad Gita. What's that verse? Anybody knows? He does everything, but still he's aloof. He's having contradictory qualities. What's that? Maya tatam idam sarvam jagad vyakta murtina matsthani sarvabhutani na cha me teshu avasthitam. I'm everywhere, yet I'm not there. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I do everything, yet I'm unaffected by anything. So that is Krishna. When Krishna says, look at my opulences, look at my power. That is this verse. I am shant, yet I create. guna karma. I come as normal human, yet I am beyond human. It seems I am taking everything. I am taking offering, Govardhan, give me everything. It seems I am taking a lot of service, but actually I am not taking, I am giving pleasure to my devotees. See, contradiction? Many people say, Krishna, your Krishna is selfish. Is it? He always asks, Patram Pushpam Phalam Tam, give me so many things. What is this God? Many philosophers, they criticize Krishna. Vaisheshika, Nyaya, Charvaks, they say he's a very egoistic person. He says, I am God. You don't want to serve him. What kind of master you have? What kind of master you have? What can I say? He actually praises himself. He's egoistic. And he demands services. Like, come on, you're selfish. That's why Prabhupada starts this purport with Yamunacharya's verse. I am always joyful to have such a fitting master. Because devotees understand that Krishna has contradictory nature. He is asking, serve me to give pleasure. He is creating, not to exactly to do something, but to help us to understand him. That's what he is doing. That's Krishna. That is Krishna. And who doesn't want to serve such a master? This is called love. Sometimes. So he is a perfect master, perfect leader. He knows how we will get purified and we will have love for him. He can mold us like that. He knows how to mold us. This one of the name of Krishna in Vishnu Sahasranam is Neta. You know what's the meaning of Neta? Neta means leader. And there in that explanation is there, Krishna is perfect leader because he knows how to attract us. And attraction depends on just on one thing. Wonder, no? If you have the sense of wonder for somebody, you get attracted, is it? My God, how can he do such a thing? That's the point, no? That's attraction, chamatkar. That's the word used in Chaitanya Charitamrita. What's that verse? What's the first line? I just saw that. Vichar karile chitte paave chamatkar. Chaitanya daya karaha vichar. Vichar karile chitte paave chamatkar. If you can understand the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya, your heart will be full of wonder. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says. Why? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with this philosophy of bhed, abhed. No? That's contradiction. He came up with a philosophy of contradiction. He wanted to explain us Krishna is contradictory. Why he wanted to explain us Krishna is contradictory? Because he said Krishna is all attractive. Attractiveness depends on this. Oh my God, he's supreme controller, yet people are controlling him. He's a baby, yet he can lift Govardhan. He's a small child, Krishna Balram, yet they're fighting with Chanur Mushtika. That gives pleasure, no? That gives pleasure. He's a god and he's lifting Govardhan. No pleasure. What's the pleasure in that? He's God anyway. He can do anything. That's where Lord Ram's pastimes are not as pleasurable as Lord Krishna's pastimes. Because Ram is acting as a capacity of king and a god. A powerful king. That pleasure goes down. That is where all the pastimes of Vishnu. They're not as pleasurable as Krishna. Because we know he's Vishnu. Vishnu comes and he lifts a mountain. That churning, he comes and lifts. Okay, so what's the big thing? Yeah, he can do that. And then doesn't matter. There's no pleasure. So that is why Mahaprabhu came with the philosophy of rasa, no? He wants Namo Mahavadaniyaya, no? Why he is Mahavadaniyaya? He is all merciful. Nobody can be that merciful than him. Nobody is merciful like him. Nobody will be merciful like him. He is Namo Mahavadaniya. What he has come to give? He has come to give the highest mellows of devotional service. That's what Prabhupada writes. Now what is that mellow of devotional service? He said, highest mellows of devotional service is with Krishna, with nobody else. Are we sectarian? Are we Krishnatarian? What? You just believe in Krishna? Why you are so sectarian for Krishna? No, we are sectarian. We are not sectarian. Why? Because highest mellows can only exist in Krishna, nobody else. Because Krishna does contradictory things. That's what Krishna is doing. His whole endeavor is like that. That is the point in this verse. This is a theme they are developing. Krishna can see this and Krishna is so happy. Yes, you have understood me. Is it? You have understood me. And your glorification is perfect. I like it. All blessings to you. No? We have to glorify Krishna in such a way so that he understands, we understand him. No? That's the point of glorification. No? What do you want to glorify? So, a girl glorifies boy, a boy glorifies girl. Why? To give a sense to that person, I understand you. Is it? Then that girl will say, yes, yes, nice. Yeah, we both understand each other. Let's marry. That's the point of glorification. Glorification has two points. Now, Bhagavatam is teaching us, see. First teaching is, you should glorify in such a way so that Krishna becomes very happy. Extremely happy. You start dancing by our glorification. So that you have to learn. You have to have knowledge. So many devotees ask, Prabhu, why should he read philosophy? Why? Many devotees ask, no? Can't we just chant and be happy? Prabhupada said, chant and be happy. Yes, he said that. But there's an and there. Chant and be happy. So it's a big and. So there are many things in that and. So why you have to learn philosophy? One thing, you have to learn philosophy because if you want to glorify Krishna properly, you should know philosophy. You should know, otherwise you can't glorify him in a deep way. So that's one point we are learning from here. See, Bhagavatam is teaching how to glorify. You should know subject matter of Bhagavatam. Why so complex things in Bhagavatam? Third canto, fourth canto, you become mad hearing about creation. Nobody wants to read third canto, fourth canto. No? It's so difficult. What does all these things to do with Vrindavan? You simply serve, you make flowers. That's very nice. You clean floor, that's very nice. You make bhoga, very nice. But at the end of everything, Krishna will say, when you do all services, you go in front of Krishna, Krishna will say, okay, you're a nice servant, glorify me. My ears are thirsty to hear from you. Is it? That's what is going to happen, no? If Krishna likes you, he will say this. My ears are thirsty. Okay, you're serving me. What do you think of me? Tell that. I want to hear. You should be ready. And so for that you should know philosophy. Otherwise what do you glorify? Krishna. So then Krishna has to do a favor to you. Like Dhruva. He didn't know. Krishna, I'm not trained to. Prabhupada says in lecture. Dhruva was confused. And Vishnu came in front of him. Dhruva was thinking, I'm not trained to glorify. How should I glorify him? So Krishna says, okay. Krishna keeps a conch shell. Is it? And Dhruva starts glorifying Krishna. But the point is, we don't want the same favor from Krishna. No. We don't. We go, Krishna, please keep your conch shell. You don't have a conch shell. What happened? And Krishna will say, it's in my Vishnu form. I don't have, so I can't help you. You know, you should have learned your things. And I'm just joking. But the point is, that's the point, first thing of glorification. Yeah. Glorify with philosophy. He'll become very happy. And the second thing in glorification is, you have to glorify in such a way so that you glorify Krishna unique way. You have to glorify Krishna in such a way, you have to give that glorification which is not applicable to anybody else. Then it becomes unique, no? Krishna says, yes, you have written a poem for me. Is it only for me or it's applicable to others? No, Krishna, this is uniquely only for you because we love you. This glorification cannot be for anybody else. Only for Krishna. That is why Bhagavatam only talks about love. No? Amala Purana. It is free from all contaminations, Prabhupada says. All contaminations. It is talking only about love. Love demands focus. Love demands uniqueness for Krishna. Is it? That's love. So all glorifications are only for Krishna. It can't be applicable to anybody else, no matter how great he is. That is the uniqueness. That is why Namamahe Tvam Purusham Puranam. Krishna is happy with sons of Sagar. And that is why this glorification is in Bhagavatam. to help us understand how to approach Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Any questions?
It seems like some pure devotees, great devotees, they have some kind of retreat qualities.
Yeah, the devotees have. Prabhupada had. But the point is, the contradictory qualities in devotees is not in same capacity of Krishna. And some contradictory qualities even devotees can't have. Just like this was, Krishna creates, yet he is aloof from creation. That is not our domain. So that is why this glorification, although it is glorifying contradictory nature of God, and although devotees also have contradictory qualities, soft as a rose, hard as a thunderbolt, but yet this is unique only for Krishna. Anama Rupam, it cannot be for devotees, no. It's infinite names, infinite forms, no. This is all unique for Krishna. So they're expressing their love for Krishna, they're expressing their focus for Krishna. Krishna's understanding the intention, what's happening there. He's happy. That's what I understand. Yes, Prabhu?
Just in appreciating the points you're making, and you were also speaking before, but you spoke this morning about how we actually never really understand Krishna, even though we have to understand Krishna. So this whole contradictory existence between the devotees and Krishna means that if I'm attracted by a quality, and therefore I'm glorifying Krishna, and I'm attracted to Krishna by that quality, he has the opposite quality, just being attracted to someone else.
Yeah.
So you never actually get there because my attraction is.
Yeah, you're right.
But that one's attraction is the exact opposite.
Yeah, you're right.
You can never really get there.
Yeah, it's impossible to get there. Yeah. It's impossible. That is why Brahma says, I can't understand you. People who say they understand you, they're fools. That is why Brahma says, as far as I'm concerned, no chance. This is a point here, yeah. Nobody can understand him. Yes, sir.
The glorification, like you talked about.
Yeah, yes, you can ask. You can.
The glorification is through, like you mentioned, that you need to know the philosophy, read about Krishna, so you can glorify him.
Yeah.
Hear from devotees.
Yeah.
But glorification could also mean like distributing literature of Krishna.
Yeah, that also.
That's also glorification.
Yeah, that's also glorification.
So that's an art.
Yeah. So the point is, you have to glorify Krishna from all angles. The Prabhupada says in one of his letter, glorify Krishna, serve. Satisfy Krishna, Prabhupada used the word satisfies. Satisfy Krishna from all angles. So we are not just interested in glorifying Krishna only by book distribution. We are interested in Krishna, glorifying Krishna by words, actions, and mind. No, that's what Prabhupada says, kaya, manasa, vacha. All three things. Not even this, we are interested to glorify Krishna by every atom of our body. That's what we are aiming for. That is what is Vrindavan. If we have to reach there, we have to get trained like that. Otherwise, we are not there. We can't be there. Krishna can take you by his causeless mercy. He can do anything. But we don't wait for that moment. We work for that. So that's the idea. There. You have to be perfect. To be with perfect people, you have to be perfect. And Prabhupada says, no. To go to sun planet, you should have body, fire body. Same as sun planet. Similarly, to go to perfect planet, you have to be perfect. And what perfection Krishna is seeking for, this is here. That's why it's important to read Prabhupada books. That's why it's important even to understand them, because devotees do not really want to understand. See, that's the point. But you have to understand. If you want to satisfy Krishna in all respects, you have to understand. Devotee is not satisfied doing one service, no. Actually, devotee wants to expand himself in many forms so that he can serve. And that is liberation. After liberation, what happens? Okay, fine. So there's a question, you know. What kind of spiritual form you will have in spiritual world? No, people ask. Okay, you are gopi, you are manjari, you are peacock, you are what? But the point is this, this question doesn't make any sense, because when you're liberated from space and time, you can have millions of forms. You can serve Krishna in many forms. You can do that. That's liberation. Like Nimbarkacharya, he's having five forms. Nimbarkacharya is cow in Vrindavan, as a chakra in Sudarshan Chakra in Vaikuntha. He is also friend of Krishna, one of the friends in that capacity serving. He's also gopi. He's also Manjari. He's having so many forms. Liberation is not a small thing, no. You're liberated from space and time. If you're fixed in space and time, you can be at one place at one time. But liberation, space and time means space, time cannot bind you. At the same time, you can be at many spaces, doing different things. So that's liberation. That is spiritual service. Krishna will decide what to give us service. We can't decide. It's not in our hands. That's what my understanding was. Yes, Prabhu.
Which would conclude that therefore the mood in Vrindavan, whether it's on whatever level of Ras or Bhav, is perfected by not being conscious of Krishna as God.
Yeah, of course.
Mahabhava Sarapasi Ladataparani.
Of course. Yeah.
Maybe you showed him and Krishna showed him who he was. Prabhupada gets a class one time. Mother Yashoda gets so bewildered after looking into Krishna's mouth that he literally says, and therefore Mother Yashoda simply put Krishna down and said, anyway, don't do it.
Yeah.
She couldn't process it at all.
Beyond
her love. Yeah. And she just go
quiet. You know what? I just remember here, and it's a right moment to speak, because in Prabhupada Leela Amrit, I think Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he asked Prabhupada, he asked that, what is my sarupa, what is spiritual form? In Prabhupada Leela Amrit, a discussion comes. So Prabhupada, what spiritual form people take in spiritual world? What is our spiritual form? And you know what Prabhupada answered in Prabhupada Leela Amrit? Prabhupada says, yes, your spiritual form is your rascal. Prabhupada says that. And what's this? And when I read first time in Leela Amrit, I was thinking, I was new, like I was just reading the first time, new person, new devotee. So saying, what is this answer, you know? This crazy answer. Somebody is asking a genuine query. What do you mean by spiritual form? What is our spiritual form? And Prabhupada is saying, you are a rascal. Does it make any sense? Doesn't make real sense, you know. If you ask me a question, I say, come on, you're an rascal, you're lost. He says, I'll not talk to this person, never. But Prabhupada said this, and Prabhupada is also sensitive to emotions of people. It is not Prabhupada is insensitive. He's Prabhupada. He's leading entire world. But yet Prabhupada is using such kind of language to such kind of question. Why? There's a reason for that. Can you tell me the reason now? I've told the reason already in my lecture. Now can you figure out what's the reason? Why Prabhupada says like this? To this question, what is my spiritual form? No.
It's a finite answer, a question to an infinite answer.
No, but then Prabhupada could have said this. Infinite answer. No, he could have explained what you explained, no? But he says, no, you're a rascal. He uses this language. Why? That's the point.
Could it be first you deserve, then you desire?
Okay, yeah, that's one thing. First you deserve, then you desire, yeah. So Prabhupada could have said this. First you deserve, then you... Prabhupada could have explained nicely, no? Especially Dhruva Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was like very dear to Prabhupada and he was special.
I guess he doesn't want to encourage Sajjaya kind of philosophy, that kind of perspective.
Okay, that's one reason. That's one reason. But can't you say in a very normal tone? Why do you want to say like that, you know? Nobody says like that. If people will ask me, we'll also not say like that. Yes, Mataji?
Probably, what your sarupa is like, is not the most important thing that you need to dwell or think about it.
So that's okay. Prabhupada would have said this, no? What you are saying. Simple. My question is different. If you think about my question, then you'll get answer. But you're thinking in question in some wrong way. I know how you're thinking, so you'll not get the answer like that. Yes?
You obey whatever Krishna needs you to be in any particular.
Yes, that's the point. Because we are diseased. We have a disease of taking, wanting, is it? That's what this whole verse is all about. We want. What is my form? Okay. I want a form. No! That's your disease. That's why Prabhupada said you are a rascal. Because millions of lives you have this disease of wanting. Don't want a spiritual form. Don't be after spiritual form. We don't want spiritual form. We want to serve Him. Let Him decide to give you spiritual form or not to give you spiritual form. That's why Prabhupada said you are a rascal. Now it makes sense? Now it makes sense. Because we have been diseased so millions of lives. And now I understand after so many years why Prabhupada said like that. So Prabhupada is not using foul language because he wants to use, like, many people criticize Prabhupada, no? His books, you know, he's rascal, foolish. There's a logic, there's a reason behind that. And we can understand that reason if we understand Bhagavatam properly. It all comes from Bhagavatam. Prabhupada is immersed in Bhagavatam and he knows what he's talking. That's why Prabhupada's books are simple yet deep. That's what I gave seminar yesterday. The Prabhupada books are special. Prabhu what?
Yeah,
Prabhupada himself asked his spiritual master, how can I serve? Yes, service. Everything is service. We want to give him. You don't want to exploit him, no? That's exploitation. Krishna, give me mercy. Give me peace. Give me satisfaction. Give me spiritual form. Give me prasad. Give me this. Come on, you know. You've come here to exploit me. It seems like that. No, we are servants. We come to give Him. You decide what to give us. We are not decision maker. If you don't want to give us, no problem. That's a philosophy, no? Ashleshava padratam pinastumam. If you don't want to give us, okay. Still we'll serve you. Yeah, so that's Prabhupada said, yeah. Yes, Prabhu, yeah.
Can you please comment on serving Krishna with emotion and play the line for the sentiment and what is the Prabhupada's definition?
Oh, emotions and sentiment? Well, you know, yeah, I was talking and we were thinking
yesterday.
Yeah, so Prabhupada always says that religion without, what's that? Science?
Philosophy.
Philosophy, Prabhupada says philosophy. Religion without philosophy is mental speculation. Philosophy without religion is mental speculation. Religion without philosophy is sentiment.
Or fanaticism.
Or fanaticism. Prabhupada borrowed this from Einstein. Einstein said this. Religion without science is lame. Science without religion is blind. So probably he might have, of course he might have known all these things. Because he read in Scottish college, so... So that's the point. So emotions, true emotions and sentiments. There's a difference in service. There are two questions. What is the difference? And how do we know that there's a difference? There are two questions. What is the difference? And if it happens to us, how should we know whether it's emotion or sentiment? No? So there's a difference between true emotions and sentiment. True emotions will always be accompanied with philosophy. Philosophical understanding. That is why Prabhupada says, Uttam Adhikari Madhyam Kanishth. Prabhupada says, in Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada says, if you want to become Uttam Adhikari, you have to be expert in scriptures. You must be expert. They are Uttam Adhikari, no? Sagar Maharaj. Now, there's so deep philosophy, but yet full of emotions. Namamahe Tvam Purusham Puranam. So Krishna knows, yes, this is true emotions. Because true emotions will reveal true philosophy. A person who is having true emotions for God, he cannot be devoid of philosophical understanding. Prabhupada says in his purport, no? What's that verse? Gita. 10th chapter, 11th verse. Tisham evanu kamparthaam aham agyanam jamtamah. Prabhupada writes in the purport, even if devotee is ignorant of everything, if he has true emotions by the grace of Krishna, philosophy will get revealed to him. No, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, many times he used to ask Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. He was illiterate. So, that is true emotions. False emotions. True emotions have philosophy. True emotions brings philosophical understanding. False emotions wipes away all understanding. It'll destroy all understanding. So that's one difference. So if you want to check yourself whether I have true sentiments or false emotions, one check is you should check how much understanding, philosophical understanding you have. You can't be devoid of understanding. It's impossible. Second check is what I told. True emotions, if you're truly attached to Krishna, you'll be detached from this material world. It's impossible to have attachment for both. No. If we have true emotions for God, we'll have no emotions for material world. It can be just one place, it can't be two. If it's just sentiment, then sentiment is bahu shakhaya anantascha, no? It's everywhere. Sentiment is everywhere for him, for that, for that. So these are the two differences between true emotions and sentiment. And another third difference is true emotions cannot be checked by time and space. Ahitukya pratyata. It'll keep on going. False sentiments, sometimes it comes, sometimes goes, sometimes comes, sometimes goes. Anandam buddhivardhanam, pratipadam purnamrita swadhanam. It'll keep on. If we have true emotions for Krishna, every time we chant, we will feel ecstasy. It's not that sometimes we feel, sometimes don't feel. Sometimes feel, sometimes won't feel. If this is happening with us, sometimes you are feeling ecstasy, sometimes no ecstasy. Sometimes emotions, sometimes no emotions. This means what is that? This true emotions or sentiment? What do you say? It is false or it is true? I just said false. But the point is, you can't give this answer false here. That's why. Because it can't be totally false, is it? Because we are devotees, no? And it can't be totally true, because it's vanishing. Truth never vanishes, no? Satyam param dhimahi. Truth never vanishes. If it's vanishing, there's some illusion there. Magic. But it cannot be false. Because we are serving Krishna, there has to be some truth, otherwise how can we serve Him? Is it? So, what is this? What we are experiencing? This is shadow. That is a concept in Sanskrit, abhas, that Prabhupada brings in Nectar of Devotion. So, leave all Sanskrit terms, forget it. The easy part is, this shadow. We are experiencing a shadow of emotions, but not the real emotions. That is why, even though this is true, but it's shadowy, so it comes and goes. It's not really false. False is with sahijyas. All this, like all bogus people, they are false. Our intent is right, no? So we have shadow. But we are aiming for true. So your question, is it sentiment or emotions? It has to be qualified a little bit. There are two types of sentiments. One is false sentiment, one is shadowy sentiment. So we have shadow of sentiments. And we don't have substance now. We are aiming for substance. And how do we know that we are proceeding from shadow to substance? By the level of philosophy. Substance demands philosophy now. And also level of detachment. And then we can know. That's okay. I think I'm very clear. So that's it. Yes,
we were talking about Prashanta and Prahlada. So I heard Prabhupada say that Prahlada is Pratishti Rupena Ahlada.
Pratishti
Rupena means that is completely
fixed. Pratishti means fixed.
Yes.
Pratishtam. It's the same thing. Complete and fixed is the same thing. Yes. Complete is fixed. Yeah, you're right. Pra means many things. Pratishti, Pra means. Actually, Pra means Prakrishta Rupena. So probably Prabhupada's accent is different. But exact Sanskrit is Prakrishta Rupena Shanta Iti Prashanta. Prakrishta means complete. Complete. Complete, anything complete is fixed at one place. You can't move it because it is complete. So that's the difference. So Prakrishta, completely happy. Prakrishta means intense peace. Intense means love. Finished. No disturbance in mind. No disturbance. No material world. That can only happen when you're in love with God. It can't happen otherwise. That is why Prashanta means love. Okay, and that's it. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.